Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today we want to talk a little bit more about family economies because, friends, our interest is to build strong family economies based upon the biblical principles we find in God's Word. And, friends, family economies have been breaking down. We think education is breaking down, too. But one of the best things we can do as families is to get back to God's Word to reconstruct our families based upon those principles. So today we want to talk a little bit about the investment aspect of the family economy. From time to time, God blesses us with money. And what do we do with that money? And how do we invest that money? And money, of course, is a tool. But how do we use that money for the best, for the better, for the hopefully the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And that's, of course, our commitment. And friends, don't forget, we do have our Family Economics Conference coming up March 8th through 10th of 2012. You need to sign up for that right now because it's filling up fast. And we are going to be dealing with investments as part of the conference this year. But with me to talk a little bit about family investments today is Eric Stasek. He is a homeschool father of five. He's been in the investment market for a long time. Since 1987, he's been an investor, and he's helped a lot of folks with this issue. And one of the things, one of his desires is to put together a method by which families can learn how to invest and invest wisely in the markets. Eric Stasek, welcome to the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Now, Eric, talk to us a little bit about investment. I mean, why should people, why should families want to invest?
Well, I think that you hit it early on in your introduction where biblically as Christians, we are told very clearly that we are to be very good stewards. And when we go to the parable of the stewards, we find that the individuals who had not been wise with their money and had not sown for the future, they were dealt with rather harshly.
All right.
We as Christians need to consider carefully how we can be very good stewards and obey our Lord.
And God gives us certain resources. I mean, a man lives 80, 85 years. He's going to get time and money. I think someone said you get two things, time or money. That's pretty much it. And you're going to invest that time and that money. And at the end, you know, Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or he doesn't. But you're going to invest it. And you better invest it wisely. And I think that's part of the key, isn't it?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So how do we invest? I mean, give me some basic and your basic thrust is investing money. We, you know, we might get an extra $15,000, an extra $500 here and there. Well, we've got to do something with it. Is burying the money underground the proper way to handle it?
Okay. You know, the question about how to invest, you know, it's a broad subject, but I would like to address it in this way. First,
okay.
We need to understand the language of investing first, and we need to train ourselves well, train ourselves, ourselves and our family on this broad area of investing. Mm-hmm. So first, we need to introduce concepts of investing. How do we build small businesses? And when our small businesses are cash flowing positively, and some of our ideas have borne fruit, and we have that extra cash, like you're saying, that from time to time we may have a steady stream of additional income coming in, or we have younger children when they've gotten through that phase of lawn mowing and doing certain things that they can around the neighborhoods to serve their neighbors and also to learn about microenterprise and enterprise and business building, they have money to invest. And so people need to understand the language and the tools for investing. The stock market serves us in that regard. The stock market, the American stock market particularly, is a market that's very liquid and, for those who understand it, very predictable. So it's an opportunity for us to learn how to invest. We learn the language of investing when we study something like the stock market.
Okay, give us some basic ideas in terms of what the stock market, give us some of the vocabulary that we need to know here.
Okay. Some of the vocabulary for investing successfully in the markets is this. Number one, and what we teach at Stock Market Companion is to have a routine. In our case, we use a method called simple investing, where every good investment starts with a story and ends in earnings. Earnings expansion at the individual company that we're investigating at the time or that we're interested in. Mm-hmm. So the S of simple is a story, And the end of simple with the E is earnings expansion. And in between, what we have is the I for institutional investor interest, M for the market. What is the condition of the background market? Is it suitable for investing at this time? Or are we in the throes of what may be a financial crisis, what we had in 2008? Mm-hmm. At Stock Market Companion, we informed people about the crisis ahead of time and got people on the sidelines and then got them back in at the market bottom for very strong returns. Mm-hmm. So that's the M of market. P is P stands for product or a person. You know, very often when you have a story of earnings expansion, an exciting growth story of a company, whether it's Apple Computer or Select Comfort Beds, the dial a number beds, that was a very interesting story in 2003, for example, mm-hmm. or Crocs Shoes, Cree Incorporated, Cree being a manufacturer of LED lighting. We've all seen this expansion and this transition of LED lighting. Mm-hmm. So there's either a person like at Apple, Steve Jobs, and also their magnificent products, or there's a P as in product, as in Crocs shoes, or a dial a number bed. Okay. So that's the P.
Gotcha.
And then we have L as in leader or a leader in the industry, or a stock leader, something that's a stock investment that's very strong, acting very strong in the marketplace and moving higher. That's the L. So that's the simple method that we introduce at Stock Market Companion, and we teach people how to use.
Are you looking at all six at the same time, and is it important that you're looking at every one of those six factors before you do any investing?
Yes, yes, we do look at each of those factors individually before we make an investment. It needs to all fit together so that we have a very clear story and a very clear strategy on how to engage that story.
Mm-hmm. All investment requires some degree of risk.
That's correct.
How do people look at risk?
You know, risk is a very personal thing. For any investment requires fundamentally an understanding that a person is putting money on the table and engaging it for hopefully a positive return, mm-hmm. understanding that there could be a downside risk to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we teach, particularly in dealing with individual stock investments, it's very important to understand how to put in a stop. You know, when we use our method of simple investing, and we've identified that perfect entry or that window of opportunity, there is always a place for us to put strategically a stop so that we're able to protect our investment capital and walk away with a modest loss, mm-hmm. In anticipation, however, of a much greater gain.
And explain to our audience what a stop is.
Yes. A stop is a means for an individual stock investor to mechanically place a stop order in place, put it in place at a brokerage company, at a discount brokerage, for example, and that stop is always active so that if the stock price for some reason, let's say in the case of Apple Computer, if the market had responded very negatively to Steve Jobs' passing, that stock would be triggered at that point, at that price that the investor has established when the stop should be triggered. By and large, it will be triggered there. There are some intricacies involved with that we teach at Stock Market Companion about the specifics of it, but it's a place where you know that the price will be triggered and your investment will be then sold, and you will then have the remainder of your investment capital available for the next idea.
Eric, what are the reasons why people are afraid to invest? I mean, is it because they're afraid of risk? Is it because they're afraid to lose money? Is it because they are too greedy, too covetous? Is it possible to be too covetous and risk too much? Is it possible to be too covetous and not risk enough? Do you follow me here? In other words, do these biblical principles play into how we act and react in the market?
Absolutely. You know, I think the biggest hindrance for most Americans and American families on investing is, number one, they just don't feel like they know enough.
Okay.
And we can couple that also with the understanding that there are grave misunderstandings about the market. Number one, there are these huge expectations that when somebody buys a stock, they think it's going to go up 100% in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others who simply buy and hold with a hope that it's going to go up sometime, but they really don't have a strategy. They don't really have a reason to be involved with the market in the first place. That has been a grave problem for Americans for two generations now, where they've been taught, they've been engaged with the market to some degree because of some stock participation program at work or some other stocks that they may have received from relatives or something they've purchased on their own because they've been solicited by some broker, and they really don't have a reason for being in the market in the first place. So we try to, our primary objective is to give a method on which to engage the market successfully and give that information and that that understanding that's necessary for successful investing.
Okay. And what would you call successful investing? What would a successful investor look like after, say, 5 years in investing?
Right. A successful investor has the language of investment in their minds. They understand the terminology. They understand what it is that's driving an investment. They're going to understand, number one, what makes a good investment. They're going to see it. This reminds me of over the last year or so, there was a video about Warren Buffett. He was in a hotel lobby, and a newspaper reporter caught him there and asked him some questions about an investment in a steel company that he had made the year before. And, you know, he just very casually said, you know, I looked at the earnings report, I looked at the annual report, and, you know, I just knew that this stock should be, that this company should be twice its value. And when I saw that video, I said, that's exactly right. Homeschool families and individuals should have that same understanding that Warren Buffett has. He does not have a corner on that knowledge, and it is very possible for individuals and families to have that same sort of confidence that Warren Buffett has. So that would be a successful investor, understanding what the value of a company is today and what that value may be tomorrow.
Okay. And, of course, you can't predestinate. I mean, God does that kind of thing.
But, absolutely.
But you can make your best call, and I think that's the point. And we have to make a good call with whatever we do. Even if we invest in our own product, our own service, we're still hopefully taking a look at what we think a product or a service or a business is worth, eyeballing it, and then investing if we feel that it's going to return, give us a return on the investment.
Exactly. That's precisely right. And we can limit our risks, again, by using such simple tools as a stop order that's always active in the background mm-hmm. to protect ourselves from the downside.
What is your thought about people who just say, hey, I want to just hand all of the decisions for my investment portfolio over to a professional versus the person who says, no, I've got to control my own investments? I mean, is there one size fits all for anybody, or is it or is it just different strokes for different folks?
Well, I think a lot of it should be, we do need to consider that there is a certain life cycle to investing, and the idea that at a certain age there is a good reason for people to have handed off a large portion of their portfolio for management to very skilled investment companies and individuals who are very talented, and that they've weighed very carefully who they give those responsibilities to. But the broad mass of people before that, those who are not engaging the market are missing a key opportunity to educate themselves and their children about how to engage this new economy, how to participate in today's world.
Mm-hmm. But not everybody thinks of themselves as this expert business analyst. They just don't think they have the wherewithal for that to happen. But you're saying it can happen with a little education, a little training.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is no reason why people just thinking about the different stories that have emerged around all of us over the last 20 years, whether it's all of a sudden an individual starts seeing Home Depot stores popping up, or Costco stores, or somebody's taking their child to a Suzuki violin lesson, and outside the door are piled up all these Crocs shoes, or Ford Motor Company doesn't take the bailout, or there's a Select Comfort bed program that people are buying these beds, or there's a tremendous move towards LED lighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all things that emerge around us, and those are stories that often give opportunities for people are informed investors. They know how to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, and I think everybody eventually develops somewhat of a feel as to what's going on. Sometimes you can tell a restaurant chain is not going to work because you walk in there 3-4 times, you never got good service, the food was bad, and you
That's
say
correct.
To yourself, and I'm often saying this to my children, that restaurant is not going to survive, and we drive past it 2 years later, and sure enough, it's all boarded up. So,
right.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has a sense
that's
for it.
An opportunity when you go in and you have a negative experience, that's an opportunity to go see, is that company publicly traded? And then put it on a watch list and just see how that plays itself out. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It is. Eric, talk to us a little bit about your stock market companion. You mentioned it once or twice, but how does this work?
Okay. Stock Market Companion is an online tool for families and individuals to link up with the markets. And they can do it. They do it through reading 3 times a week, a broad to narrow assessment of the markets that we provide online. It's a very easy read. It's done in 10 or 15 minutes. It gives the understanding of where the broader market is, which is our roadmap to the markets. It's very important to have a bird's eye view of the broader market, in this case the S&P 500, in our minds as we move forward as investors. And then it goes narrower and narrower down to specific investment ideas. What are the catalysts? What's taking place in the broader marketplace today? What's taking place globally that could be influencing our markets that's causing us to stay on the sidelines? We talk about those things. What are those things that are taking place now that are causing us, for instance, to be more investment friendly? Like just last week, the Federal Reserve, and we all have different opinions about the Federal Reserve, but we have it today, and we need to work with the Federal Reserve. We understand that they're forecasting very low rates going out until 2014. Mm-hmm. That's a broad, defined boundary condition that as investors we need to take note and say, hey, look, that means for stocks generally a very favorable environment for those companies that are doing things right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we go through that analysis 3 times a week, and then on the weekends we generally have quizzes for members. That gives them an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the timeless truths of investing, as well as linking that with some of the more current investment stories that we've been talking about with at Stock Market Companion. We offer our watch list of stocks that we're keeping in front of us to look for key entries for investment, and we show when and where we're moving our own money, and so people can get an understanding of how we actually engage the market ourselves.
Hmm. Well, it says here that you've averaged a return of 22.5% from 1995 through 2009. Is that pretty average? Is that something that the average person could expect if they invest wisely in the market?
Some of those years were very strong. I think that quite personally, if an individual, particularly a new or growing investor, if they were able to achieve a 5-8% investment gain on their own per year, that they should be very satisfied. And then when certain opportunities that come along, certain ideas that come along that a person really feels comfortable with and says, you know, that's going to be a real winner. Like at Stock Market Companion, we knew that when Ford didn't take that bailout money, that they were going to be advantaged in the marketplace. Plus, Brian Mullally had been at the helm at Ford for 4 years, and his turnaround plan was coming into place. So we were able to engage that idea very strongly. And so over time, when people are informed about the markets, certain ideas will come along that they'll be able to take even more advantage of.
Now, Eric, you're a homeschool father of 5. I think your oldest child, I read, was about 9 years old. Are you teaching your older children about these things, and what would you teach them?
Yes, I'm teaching them specifically these things, how to invest successfully, how to listen for words that explain things about investing. You know, with my oldest being 9, that's a little bit early in terms of getting into the nuts and bolts of investing.
Mm-hmm.
I generally tell families, you know, 12 years and up, you know, with homeschool families with certain children who have a real desire to learn this, I think 12 is generally about the earliest that I found a real interest and aptitude for this. But in my family, you know, at the table, we talk about what we're seeing what I'm seeing in the market, and then we'll review that when we go driving out and we start seeing things, you know, businesses, like you said, Kevin, certain restaurants, or we see certain businesses emerging around us, we then are able to use the language of investing to discuss what we're seeing.
Okay. Very good. Eric, as we wrap things up, how do folks get in contact with you and how would they sign up for your Stock Market Companion if they're interested?
Okay. For those interested, they can go to our website, stockmarketcompanion.com. There they can read more about what we do. There are some videos there of some families who are using our work today. There's a free trial button there that they can click on. We do request a credit card number up front to avoid abuse to our free trial program, but we have a 14-day free trial. If it's in any way unsuitable or not something that they'd like to try, which they discover during that time, they can simply send us a short note and just say thank you, but no thank you. Otherwise, they're able to then participate completely as members, being able to read three times a week what we're seeing in the marketplace, get to see how we're engaging the markets ourselves and see our watch list and take our quizzes. And it's a month-by-month program. We do not require any long-term commitments. It's just something that when they're complete with the program or they just wish to continue going on, it's simply a month-by-month program.
Okay, very good. Very good. And you offer a discount for those that are listening to the program as well.
Yes. For those who are listening to this program today, we would like to partner up strongly with your work, Kevin, and just say if they're interested in trying this out, when they click on our free trial, there will be an opportunity to put in a coupon code. And if they do so, if they can put in the coupon code VISION, V-I-S-I-O-N, that will give them a 40% discount for the life of our program. Our program is also that one membership is good for an entire family. So it's not that each person in the family needs to have their own membership. That's not the case. It's one membership for the entire family. Use VISION and they will get a 40% discount for the life of their membership.
Eric Stasek from StockMarketCompanion.com is with us today on the Generations broadcast and giving us some basics on the investments out there in the marketplace. And, of course, families have all sorts of different things they'd like to invest in. And one of the things, Eric, I suggest is that they cast their bread on many waters and there be some diversification in their investment portfolio. As we wrap things up here, what's your take on that?
Diversification is essential, and for two generations, our well-meaning financial services industry has often taught people that it's sufficient to diversify over different types of stocks. That's not accurate. Diversification, in its correctly applied form, is diversifying using stocks, using bonds, and using real estate. And I would add to that also using small business and investing in small business enterprise through the family. So that would be an accurate use of diversification.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Eric Stasek from StockMarketCompanion.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Eric, hey, thanks so much for joining us today on the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been a real pleasure.
We appreciate your wisdom. And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us, friends.
Are you tired of running the corporate rat race? Are you struggling to make healthcare choices? Are you looking for a better job? Maybe even a job that your entire family can be involved in. Do you want to take your family to the next level? The 2012 Family Economics Conference is designed to help family with the vision and resources to make practical steps to build their family's economy. From practical household budgeting and finance, to starting your own business, to making wise decisions about college and career preparation, the Family Economics Conference has something for everyone. There will even be a special Proverbs 31 track for the ladies' role in the family economy. For more information, or to sign up online, go to www.FamilyEconomics2012.com. That's FamilyEconomics2012.com.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today, the topic is family investments. Now, please understand that we're not making a particular recommendation for any particular portfolio myself, but I will tell you that casting your bread on many waters is really important, I believe. I believe it's a biblical principle, and I think diversification within your portfolio is very, very helpful. So I will tell you that, and I will say that with some dogmatism. But we're going to be talking about various options for families interested in investments. And one of the approaches that I have taken, and one of the approaches that many of our friends take, is to put X percent of their portfolio into the hard metals, that is gold and silver. And Chad Roach is with me here this morning to talk about this. And Chad Roach has been hanging out with his ministry for a long, long time. So he's a friend of the program. He's a contributor to the ministry in many, many ways, mostly with his time. But he also has a business, CornerstoneBullion.com. And Chad, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mr. Swanson.
And you know what? Cornerstone Bullion's doing well. I mean, you have worked on this for years. I'm thinking, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, it's about our third or fourth year in business
okay.
right now.
Okay.
It's a family business, mm-hmm. and it's growing rapidly.
Yeah.
About every 8 months, we double.
And you're not kidding. I've been in your house, and I've seen the buzz and the hustle and the bustle and the phones answered, and it's your sister's. Is your father? I guess your mother probably answers the phones occasionally too. But the family is engaged in this business.
It's an oikonomia.
Yeah, it is. No question. Okay, so gold and silver. You've been in this business for a long time. What do you think? Is it a good investment?
It's an honest investment.
Yeah.
It's a way to take a moving commodity like the U.S. dollar and to put it into something that for 6,000 years of world history, as best as I can tell, has made it from one culture to the next.
One ounce is one ounce. It doesn't change much.
It was roughly an ounce 1,000 years ago, 3,000 mm-hmm. years ago, and it will still be 1 ounce no matter what Ben Bernanke says mm-hmm. next week.
Sure, sure.
Now, the dollar will be something different after Ben Bernanke talks
mm-hmm.
next week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But gold won't. Gold
right.
will be the same.
Right. So you can always count on its value being the same. In some sense, though, it's not really an investment.
No. Gold is not something that you plant in the ground and that produces something.
Right.
It's really more of a way to store value mm-hmm. in between the different things that you can do with value over the course of your life.
I think that's why some people say, okay, I'm moving 10%, 20%, 40%, or what have you, into the metals because I'm not sure what's happening with the other 60%.
That's right. And honestly, my favorite investment is my own business.
Well, that's true.
In
that's
my
true.
Business,
sure, sure,
they're
sure,
both
sure,
the same.
Sure, right.
And so for any family economy out there, I think their best option, 9 times out of 10, is their own family business.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody has a family business.
Sure.
And even if you do, maybe you're not going to go 100% invest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to store your value somewhere so that your kids can have some value to put into their business.
Yeah.
And then the question comes, what's the best way to store that value? Is it in the dollar, in the stock market as a whole, or in a metal?
You know, I have to say, Chad, I have watched gold and silver for the last 5 years, and man, it has gone through the ceiling. I can remember 10, 11 years ago, gold was at $285 an ounce, okay? That would have been roughly 1999, okay? Now, today it's probably $1,750. I don't have the number. But okay, $285 to $1,750 in just 10 years, that's pretty good.
That's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Because that's an increase of what, 600-800%.
Silver likewise up from $3, $4, $5 an ounce yeah. just a few years ago. 2008 it was down to about $9 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Today in the 30s.
Right, right. Why?
Couple reasons. Silver is been consumed by a lot of modern industrial processes. Silver is an industrial component. It's used in electrical components, circuit boards, flat screen TVs, iPods, and the world supplies of silver have dramatically decreased.
Okay.
World supplies of silver were several billion ounces just a few decades ago, and those the government stockpiles of silver down from about 3 billion ounces in 1980 to just a few hundred million or less today.
Wow.
So
wow.
Huge sell-off in government uh-huh. stockpiles of silver
yeah.
as it's been consumed by industry.
Mm-hmm.
People are waking up to the fact that, wow, there's some potential increase there for the price of silver.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, most of the world's attention has gone to the stock markets, to the equity markets. If you didn't have your money in stocks in the 1990s when Google and Yahoo and the likes of these kinds of companies were getting their start, you were just, you know, a fool. If you didn't have your money in penny stocks, you were missing out on the biggest thing that, you know, since sliced bread. Having said that, usually what happens is in the long run, these fiat money currencies don't tend to do too well. History has not borne out fiat money super well in the long term. Now, that's not to say that there's not a few good companies out there, that there can't be a few good investments in the stock market, or that there's, you know, something inherently wrong with the American dollar.
It seems to me, Chad, that people have responded to instability in the market since 9/11. Okay, that was in, I think, 2001 or 2002. Since 9/11, you have seen a fair amount of instability in the markets, and this has bothered people. You look at the stock market, and oftentimes you're looking at 150 to 200 points change on the Dow in any given day. I'm not talking about a week. I can remember back in the 1990s when that was about a week where you had that much fluctuation. Seems like there's a fair amount of fluctuation today. People have no idea what's going to happen to Europe. There seems to be a lot of instability. People very concerned about the $14 trillion in debt for Washington, D.C., and the massive increases in debt that have happened around the country. Also, you had the bust of real estate, and they're looking at maybe a second real estate bust. I just saw this morning that real estate had dropped 3%, I think, in November. So those were bad numbers, at least according to those that have been following the real estate market. So you've got a lot of negative things going on. The old growth we used to see in the 1990s, not as steady, certainly not as stable as it was in the 1990s today.
And not only not as stable, but not quite as trustworthy, too. I think there's a little bit of lack of trust developing in the way that the economic bureaucrats run our economy and run our currency systems. We're not quite sure that the corporate managers and the Federal Reserve chairman quite have the interest of solid, strong integrity finance, biblically defined, the actual values of everyday families, working people, as the forefront of their mind. Maybe there are other interests that are playing a little bit stronger in the minds of some of the people that run our economies. Maybe political interest is getting ahead of sound biblical wisdom on these topics.
Yeah,
maybe.
It seems like the character of the nation isn't as strong as it used to be. And I think I can say that with some authority. I mean, you look at the breakdown of the family, you look at the massive increase in debt spending, you look at the fact that we're spending our grandkids and our great-grandkids into debt, and it appears that the Barack Obamas and the George W. Bushes of the world don't have any real plan to solve that issue, at least not in the near future. And if that be the case, and if Europe is wavering, and if Japan economy doesn't survive, then that may domino effect into America. And I think people are very concerned about those sorts of things.
The political mantra of the day is not pay for our own bills. It's let the next generation pay them. So they have a generational vision. It's just slightly different than ours.
Yet some companies are stronger than others.
That's
I think
right.
We can still say that.
That's right.
And you might have heard a little bit of the previous interview that you have to know the companies you're investing in.
It's good to know when Apple has billions of dollars in cash sitting there and is a solvent company. It's good to know when companies do things right. It's good to know when they do things wrong.
Right.
It's good to do your research, and if you are going to jump into that world of equities and stocks, to know, you know, what the pitfalls are and know what the winners are.
Chad, what do you recommend? I mean, I know it's difficult to make a recommendation because you're going to find people who disagree with you right and left everywhere. Is there a certain recommendation you have for folks who are interested in buying silver and gold?
Yeah. First thing, get out of debt. Second thing, if you can invest in your own business, do so. Third thing, when you still have a little bit of cash at the end of that equation, consider buying precious metals, especially if you're looking to preserve something for the longer term. If you have some short-term opportunities that make sense, that may make sense. Go for it. But if you're looking 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road and you want something that's going to last through some of the turmoil that's going on today, you know, for 6,000 years of world history, gold and silver have done pretty well. The dollar doesn't have that kind of record. Fiat money has never had that kind of record.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those systems come crumbling down at the end.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking towards the end where you are wanting to look at what your kids and your grandkids are going to get, or what you're going to have 20 years from now, and you would rather not have inflation and other things chip away at that, consider metals. There's some good stats out there, and for folks who want to go to my website and get a little more of that information, it's out there.
What are guys saying in terms of percentages? Are they saying 20% is good, 40% is good, 50% good? Is it all over the map? Some people are all gold, silver, all the way. Some are, I'd like to have 2, 5, 8%. Where are people in terms of how much of a percentage they're putting into gold and silver right now?
Sure. Part of it depends on your phase of life. You should go more towards gold and silver the more that you're looking to preserve what you already have and the more that you're looking towards the long term. If you're more in the startup phase in life, you're probably going to need more liquidity. You're going to probably need to stay in more of a cash environment
right.
for the short term as you encounter, you know, startup business expenses, you know, transitioning from in your life from job to job, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the smaller your portfolio and the younger you are, the less likely you are to be, you know, optimized to be a gold and silver investor. The more you have that you are looking to hang on to for a longer term, the more you need to probably be playing it safe.
Well, Chad, you've handled a number of the different metals. Is there anything, just getting down into the nitty-gritty of this, is there anything you'd recommend to people who are looking at silver, gold? Is it semi-numismatics? Is it bullion? Where would you recommend people open up a portfolio for metals?
Right now, silver is one of the most intriguing, one of the hottest investments out there in the metals world.
Uh-huh.
And here's a quick stat. About the gold to silver ratio in the world, in terms of what they pull out of the ground, the mining ratio, typically they'll get about 10 times as much silver as they will gold in any given year. Geologists will estimate about 10 times as much silver in the world as gold.
Okay.
Historically, in terms of a price ratio, that's worked its way out to be closer to, and people can disagree about the exact number, but closer to about 16 to 1. Silver has historically been about 1/16 of the price of gold. Today, currently, gold at $1,750 an ounce should put silver at over $100 an ounce.
Wow.
Given that historic ratio.
Okay.
It's about $33, $34 an ounce as we speak. A little bit undervalued.
Uh-huh.
So oftentimes what will happen as an increase in the investor attention goes into gold and sees that as the ideal way to hedge against an inflating currency and growing economic turbulence in the macro scene, they'll put their money to gold first. Silver will quietly sneak along behind and take its gains later. So I tend to be very pro silver in the options. There are reasons to go for gold. It's a little more portable. You can store some more value in a smaller piece. But I tend to think that silver right now is probably the best investment in metals.
Yeah. CornerstoneBullion.com, Chad Roach. And Chad, you have people around the United States that work with you. I mean, this is a network of guys you've mentored. I mean, you've done mentorship yourself, and praise God. I'm so thankful for men like you who have been successful. God has given you some success in your area of work, but you've turned around, and you've helped other young men develop their skills in some of these areas as well. And so you've got representatives around the United States.
That's right. You can buy from us here in Colorado. There are other people in other states doing what we do that we've trained to go out there and help families invest in gold and silver in other places.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Folks, cornerstonebullion.com is where you want to go to check out the information concerning silver and gold. And again, my recommendation, cast your bread on many waters. It's biblical principles. You'll find it in the book of Ecclesiastes. And again, not telling you exactly where you need to place your money, but as parents, as families, we need to be careful where we invest our money. And God wants us to be wise stewards of the things that he's given to us. Now, sadly, there's a lot of dishonesty in the systems today, largely because people are ignoring the book of Proverbs. I mean, I'm sorry, but Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, even Apple, I think, often ignores the book of Proverbs. And God's word as the standard, as the law standard for governing economies. And because of that, I think we're going to have problems in the years to come. So you got to take these things into consideration. And again, I would recommend that you diversify in your investment portfolios. Take into account some of these interviews we've done with some folks who have done some serious work and some serious research in the area of family investments. There will be a whole lot more of these discussions at our Family Economics Conference coming up in Chicago, Illinois, at Wheaton College, March 8th through 10th. Friends, it's coming up in 5 weeks from now. You need to register right now at kevinswanson.com or just go to familyeconomics2012.com. That's familyeconomics2012.com. If you cannot make it to the conference because of a financial issue, however, please let me know at host@kevinswanson.com. Just email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and we'll try to get you into the conference. We have a scholarship fund to help families who are wanting to establish a family economic vision, but maybe they just don't have the wherewithal to get there. Just email me at host@kevinswanson.com for that. Again, all of these various topics are going to be considered as best as we can at our Family Economics Conference at Wheaton College, March 8th through 10th. So we want to see you there, friends. It's the one opportunity you have to see us, and we can all get together and have some fellowship once a year at our Generations Conference, and we sure enjoy it when folks take a little time and come on down to our conferences, because this is our opportunity for that fellowship. It's the once-a-year Generations Conference at Wheaton College. And again, the website, FamilyEconomics2012.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.